program or some event, Lord, we pray that these 4 days will be a fresh encounter with your very spirit. Lord, I bless every single one of us here from the front all the way to the back, that Lord, our eyes will be open to see the things that you're revealing to us. That Lord, our ears will be open to hear your still, soft voice speaking to us. Lord, we pray that our hearts will be softened so that we can be molded by you, we can be shaped by you, we can be transformed by you. Lord, may this place be your dwelling place. We don't just want a glimpse of your glory. We don't just want a touch, Lord, but we want to see our lives transformed. We want to see this land transformed. We want to see all of Asia transformed. And we believe that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the name above every other name. And through you, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, the presence of God is in this place. Why don't you turn to someone beside you and say, it's going to be an encounter with God. And God bless you. Please be seated. Praise God. It's so good to see so many of you here. I think this has been the largest crowd for any of our opening night at G12 conference. You know, just this week, we had to make some changes because I was told that there are so many overseas delegates coming that we had to put in extra chairs in this hall and our overflow hall as well, just to make sure that everybody has a seat. You know, just seeing all the numbers was so... We're so excited. As always, we know that we have almost 1,000 people from South Korea. Almost 1,000 of you. We praise God for you. Thank God for being here every year. And this year is so great. I was telling my friends from the Philippines that 1,500 of you are here. Oh, it's so great to be here. Well, this year, this is a special conference. I know that the Lord is definitely going to do something in our midst, and I'm here to share with us the word for tonight, and later on, Pastor Caesar will be bringing the closing word, but I know as we start this conference, we need to come back to the start. We need to come and begin this conference on the right foot, and I believe God has a special word for us tonight. You know, a couple of months ago, we were talking about this conference, we were planning about it, and I didn't know what this conference was all about. The theme was back to the start. What is back to the start mean? What is it all about? I tried to find scripture. You know, previous years, we've had all kinds of different themes. And some themes was very easy. The other, 2 years ago, it was You Are the Light. Last year, it's Your Kingdom Come. I mean, these are great things. So easy to find a Bible passage about that. But when it comes to talking about back to the start, I was wondering, what is this all about? What does it mean? And my team and I, we were seeking the Lord. We were praying to God. And God brought something to my mind. And God brought me back to what happened to Moses at the burning bush. And if you've seen your whatever conference merchandise or your conference IDs, if you see the conference artwork this year, we're going to put it up on the screen. The artwork, the design I told the team was to give me something that represents the burning bush. You know, can we put up the artwork on the screen right now? We've got a talented team of designers headed up by my wife, Serene, and they came up with this. And I said, I just sense the Lord bringing us back to the burning bush. And the burning bush is something so very significant. It is so very significant because that was the encounter that Moses had with the Lord. And from that moment on, his life will never be the same again. We all know Moses is a great leader, that great man of God. But it was right here at the burning bush that he received that calling from God Almighty. And I believe that in this conference, many of us, the Lord wants to bring us back to the start. He wants to bring you back to the calling, to that destiny that he has for each and every one of you. How many of you believe that you have a destiny in the Lord? Hallelujah. You know, that's what happens to Moses. And I just want to share a very quick word, and I just believe we're going to have a time of prayer and just asking God to come and move among us for the rest of these few days. But there are two things I want to teach us as I look at the burning bush. This first message is entitled, The Burning Bush. And I think there are two very important things I want all of us to learn about the burning bush. Is that when we have this burning bush experience, this burning bush encounter, the first thing you need to know, the first thing that God is telling us, the first thing that God is shouting out to us is this. Number one, it's time to step up. It's time to step up to the calling and to the destiny that God has for you. What do you tell the person beside you? Say, step up. It's time for us to step up. What does it mean to step up? It means we got to step up and receive that calling and live according to that calling and destiny that God has given to us. Let's take a look at what happened to Moses when he had the encounter at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. It says this, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush does not burn. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Now, I want to point out something very important in this passage. It's found right there in the first verse, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. I've highlighted these three words here, that he was tending the flock. What happened here? Basically, Moses was living a shepherd's life. He was living as a shepherd, and that's why he was tending to the sheep that belonged to his father-in-law. You know, this is very important for us to point out, because what we must understand is that Moses' destiny was not to be a shepherd. Even if he became the best shepherd on all the earth, that was not his calling, that was not his destiny. And so God appeared to him in that burning bush telling him, Moses, it's time to step up. It's time to step up to that destiny, that calling that I have for you. Let's take a look a bit at Moses' history. Let's take a look at what happens at the start in Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. It says this, there arose a new king over Egypt, and this king did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happens that in the event of war, they will join our enemies and fight against us, and therefore go up out of this land. So, this was what's happening. Okay, there was a concern. The king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of that time, was concerned about the Israelites among them. And so he gave this instruction found in Exodus 1, verses 15 to 16. So the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the other name was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on their birth stools, if it's a son, kill the son. If it's a daughter, then she shall live. So you see what's happening here. The Pharaoh was trying to kill all the boy babies from the Israelites. But yet, the midwives refused to follow their order. So they gave a reason to Pharaoh why they spared the boys. And later on, at the end of Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, it says, Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born to you shall be cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So this was the backdrop. This was the backdrop and the history before Moses was born. He was born in a time where all the boys would have been killed immediately while the girls are saved. And yet, what happened here? When we reach Exodus chapter 2, we read about how Moses was born. We read about how his mother hid him away for 3 months. And after that, it was so dangerous. She put him in a basket and allowed him to float down the river now, hoping that he'll be rescued. And true enough, he floated down to where Pharaoh's daughter was. And it says this in Exodus 2, verses 5 to 10. The daughter of Pharaoh, she came down to bathe at the river. Her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw this basket, this ark among the reeds, she sent a maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw this child. And behold, this baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away, nurse him for me, and I'll give you your wages. So the woman took him, nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he now became her son. So she called him Moses because it means I drew him out of the water. Now, I know I read a lot of scripture, but let me paint this picture for you again. This was a time in Egypt where all the boys who are born to Hebrew women would be killed while the girls are being saved. And yet, he was born to this Hebrew woman who could not kill him. So she held on to him for 3 months. She hit him, and after that, put him on this basket, put him down the river now. Basically, and after he floated there, he floated all the way to Pharaoh's daughter. And not only that, was he saved. I mean, Pharaoh's daughter right there could have said, that's a Hebrew child, get rid of him. No, she had a compassion on him. She saved him. Not only did she save him, she adopted him. And immediately, Moses became royalty. Moses, from the moment he was born, was technically destined to die. But right there, instead of dying, instead of a spirit of death, he received royalty. You see, that was, clearly, if you ask me, God has something incredible in store for Moses. Moses was not meant to be any other shepherd. Moses, born in the worst of conditions, against all the odds, ended up a prince. I mean, how on earth could that be possible? That is because God had a unique destiny for him. And you know what? When you have a destiny from God, God will lead you in that way, but the devil's not going to sit back and watch you fulfill that destiny. He's not going to watch you live out that calling. He's going to try and do whatever he can to pull you away from that destiny. And so we saw later on, after Moses became a prince, his life started being disrupted by the devil. The devil wanted to pull him away from that destiny. Let's look at Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. It came to pass in those days that when Moses was grown, he went out to his brethren, he looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and the other way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two other Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to one of them who was in the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then that man said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you plan to kill us just like you killed that Egyptian yesterday? And so Moses was afraid. He said, surely this act I've done is known. And so when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. You see, Moses actually was born into that spirit of death. He was destined for death. But now, by God's grace, he ends up becoming royalty. And while he's in royalty, what does the devil try and do? The devil tries to bring him to the place of death again, where Pharaoh wants to see him killed. And what does Moses do? Moses goes on the run. Eventually, he meets this man called Jethro. He follows this man. He marries his daughter. And that's where we come back to Exodus 3:1. Where it says Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. This was how Moses ended up as a shepherd. But the point I want to make to all of us tonight is that Moses was not meant to be a shepherd. And that's why God went out of his way and appeared before Moses at the burning bush to call him to step up to that destiny that he had for him already. Right here, as we read Exodus chapter 3 and 4, we see how Moses' life would be completely transformed. And when he was right there at the burning bush, that's where God gave and issued that calling to Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and then verse 10, he says in verse 7, the Lord says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cries because of their slave owners, for I know their sorrows. And verse 10, he says this to Moses, come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Right there at that burning bush moment, you know, what was Moses doing? Moses was doing what he had all been doing all this long. He had become a shepherd. He was tending to the flock. But I don't know whether he was a good shepherd or not. He was probably pretty decent at it. He was tending to the sheep. And all of a sudden, he sees this burning bush. He goes there. He encounters the burning bush. And when he's at that burning bush encounter, God is basically saying to him, Moses, it's time for you to step up. I did not call you to be a shepherd. I did not call you to live life on the run. I've called you for a greater purpose than this. And church, today, when we talk about going back to the start, I believe that there's some of us here, we have forgotten that calling. We have forgotten that destiny that God has for us. Maybe some of you don't know what your calling or destiny is, but maybe you've forgotten the fact that you do have a calling or a destiny. Maybe you've lived your life doing some other things, you've become good at other things, and you've lost track of what or the path that God has placed you on. But today you need to come back to the start. Come back to that moment again where God gives you that challenge once more to say, you were not meant for this, you were meant to live according to my destiny. But of course, sometimes it's scary to step up because you don't know what's going to happen when you step up. Well, I want to share with you something that Martin Luther King Jr. says. He said this, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the entire staircase. Faith is taking that first step even when you don't see the end of the staircase. You may not exactly know where the staircase leads you to, but you've got to take that first step. If you want to move upwards to where God has in store for you, you have to take that first step. And tonight, church, the Lord is saying to us, it is time for you to step up. Again, when you tell the person, because you say, step up. So that's the first thing. But the second thing that God is saying through the burning bush encounter is this. Number one, he says it's time to step up. But the second thing he's saying as well is that it's time to step out. It's time to step out. Tell the person beside you, it's time to step out. See, when Moses was at the burning bush and God gave him that challenge, gave him that call, Moses was very hesitant. Why? Because he was not willing to step out. He was very comfortable where he was. He was happy. He was a married man. He was now living with his family and he's tending to the sheep of the father-in-law. His father-in-law's sheep. He was happy. He didn't want to step out of that place. But now God is here at the burning bush saying, Moses, it's time for you to step out. Stop living in that comfortable way. Stop remaining there. It's time to step out. Let's take a look at the conversation that God has with Moses at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. Come now, therefore, and I'll send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children out of Egypt? What do we see here? We see some kind of hesitation. We see some kind of doubt that Moses has. And listen to the things he's asking there. He said that, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? In verse 13, okay, he said, Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, and I should say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Later on, you go into Exodus chapter 4. Moses is still having this conversation. He's still kind of arguing with God in that sense. And in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says this, Moses answered God and says, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Later on in verse 10, he gives another reason why he can't. He says, Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither before or now have I been able to speak in an eloquent manner. You have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. I cannot speak. How can I be your mouthpiece? And finally, Moses reveals what he's really thinking. Exodus chapter 4, verse 13. Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. Listen to that for a moment, okay? It's one thing to say, let's say you're in your cell group, you're in your G12 group, and you know someone beside you is really a holy guy. This guy reads the Bible every day, goes for every prayer meeting, is leading his cell, has 144 or 1728, and you say, God, don't send me, send this guy. I can give you some credit for that, because you thought, this guy, he's a holy guy, he's a good guy, send him. But that's not what Moses said. Moses said, anyone else. What does that mean? It means he really didn't care. God, anybody, as long as it's not me. The only thing that Moses cared about was that it was not him. That's why he said, anyone else. Send anybody. I don't care who. I don't care who that person is. I don't care whether that person knows you or not. Send anyone else. And if I were to summarize these five questions and statements that Moses said, are these. Number one, He asked, who am I? Number two, what do I say? Number three, what if they don't believe me? Number four, but God, I can't. And number five, not me, please. Anybody else but me. These are the five things that Moses said. But can I tell you something? Every time Moses said something or asked a question, God was ready with an answer. And when Moses said, who am I? What did God say in verse 12? He says, I will certainly be with you. You know, listen to that. Huh? Who am I? And God says, I will be with you. You know what? Who you are doesn't matter. Because God is with us. God is within us. God is the one working through us. And so God is telling Moses, look, it's not about you. It's about what I am going to do through you. So he says, who am I? I am with you. Second question, he says, what do I say? And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, the Lord says, tell them I am has sent you. He basically gave him instruction to say these exact words. He was telling him what to do. When Moses says, what if they don't believe me? Look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 5, then 8 to 9. The Lord said to Moses, if they don't believe you, if they're not convinced by the first miraculous sign, they'll be convinced by the second sign. If they don't believe you or listen to you, even after these two signs, take some water from the Nile River and pour it out on the dry land. When you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on ground. What happens here? Moses said, what happens if they don't believe me? God said, what's that in your hand? A staff. Throw it on the ground, it turns into a snake. Pick it back up, it turns into a staff again. And he says, if they don't believe that, I'll give you a second sign. Put your hand in your chest, it became like a leper's hand. And he did it again, and then it got healed immediately. And what is God saying here? God says this, you know what, if they don't believe you, he didn't just say, I'll give you a sign. Not only did God say, I'll give you one sign, not only did he say, I'll give you two signs, God says, I'll give you three signs. And with every single sign, it escalates, it gets bigger and bigger. And God is showing us, you know what, I'll give you as many signs as you want to show that I am with you. Later on, Moses asks, or rather he says this, but I can't. Remember he says, he made this statement, I can't. He says, I stutter when I speak. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of tongue, slow of speech. What does God say to him? Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. The Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether a person should speak or not speak, hear or not hear, see or not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak. I will instruct you in what to say. And lastly, Moses says, not me, please. And God was still gracious. Yes, God said, it'll still be you. But since you can't speak, you know what? Let me send your brother Aaron. He says, I'll send your brother Aaron. And it says this in Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. So he shall be your spokesman. Notice this, huh? God didn't say that Aaron was God's spokesman. Aaron was not God's spokesman. He was Moses' spokesman. God was saying, Moses, you're not getting off so easy. Because you are still the man. I'm the one who has called you still. And what is the point I'm making here? At every single juncture, you see Moses trying to back out. You see him trying to step back. Meanwhile, God is trying to get him to step out. To step out and enter into that calling and into that destiny that God has for him. I don't know what you're going through, but you know, I'm pretty sure we have made those five we have asked those five questions or made those similar statements before. We have said to God, God, who am I that I should do this? Why me? Lord, anybody else, please. Anyone but me. We have made all these statements before. But today, God is asking you this simply. Are you going to step out? Will you step out? Or are you going to remain in that comfortable place? You know what, church, I want to tell you this. You cannot fulfill your calling in your comfort zone. You cannot fulfill your calling inside your comfort zone, whatever it is. You're never going to fulfill that calling. Just think of Moses. Moses could have become the best shepherd. He could have had the biggest flock on all the earth. But that was not his calling. His calling was to be a prophet. His calling was to be the man of God, to lead the people out of Egypt. That was his destiny. And so God will go out of his way, appear in this burning bush, to say, Moses, it's time for you to step out. Church, I believe that many of us here today, it's time for us to step out. We could have been in church for a long time. We could have been leaders for a long time. We may have even been pastors for a long time already. But we've come to this place where we're comfortable where we are. But if we're at this conference and say, Lord, I want to encounter you. Lord, I want to meet you at that burning bush. Then today, we need to say, Lord, I am going to step out. Because that is the second call from the Lord today. When he comes to the burning bush, number two, it's time for you to step out. Tell the person beside you, step out. You know, I'm going to close in a moment's time. This message really was just an opening message just to frame our hearts and our spirits for this entire conference. And I'm going to end off with a time of just us coming before God and crying out to him. But today, I want to say this to all of us. You know, as God calls us back to the start, it is high time that many of us here, we need to step up. We need to step out. Step up to the mission that God has for us. Step out of our own comfort zone. Step out of our own pride. Step out of our own doubts and so on and so forth. It's time to get out of that so that we can enter into God's destiny. Today, we all need to respond. We all need to come and respond. You know, when we were talking about this burning bush, I remember I was talking to my wife, Serene, about the burning bush. And we're talking about it, and we're having this discussion, and she pointed out something, and she brought up something that's very important. If you look through the entire burning bush account, there are many different things that we can take back from it. We can learn about all the different questions that that Moses raised. We can talk about what God said. We can talk about how God says, I am who I am. We can talk about this. We can talk about that. There's so many different things there. But there's something so jarring right there. And it's this single truth. The burning bush requires a response. The burning bush is a place of response. Yes, was it a place where Moses encountered God? You know, very often in church, we talk about the burning bush experience, the burning bush encounter. To us, we always think of that as, oh, it's a soaking moment. Let's just come and soak in the presence of God. Let's enjoy the presence of God. You know what, church? Why do we soak in the presence of God? Why do we soak in His glory? We soak in His presence and His glory so that when we step out, we are dripping with His glory. We are dripping with His presence wherever we go, and we bring it to every single place that we go to. That is why we soak in the presence of God. We don't soak in the presence of God just to feel nice, just to enjoy it, just so that, oh, my needs are touched. All that is great. But we come to the burning bush so that finally we respond. And I want to point out something to you. God did not let go of Moses until he responded. Think about that. God did not let go of Moses until he responded. Moses could have said, Lord, who am I? And God could have said, yeah, true, who are you? Nah, next. Move on to the next guy. He didn't do that. He kept pressing in. God kept pressing in on Moses. And to say, Moses, I've called you. You are called for something greater than this. And tonight, we're all going to come and respond. We're going to be worshiping the Lord in just a short while's time. But today, maybe you are like that Moses. Maybe we have been sitting there giving God all kinds of reasons, all kinds of, well, honestly, in my script, I didn't put the word reason. What I wrote in my script was this. Some of us sit there giving lame excuses to God as to why we can't be used by God, why it's not me, why it should be somebody else. But today, I want to tell you, put all that aside, because God is telling you that there is a calling for your life. And before we respond to the Lord, before we worship the Lord, one thing I commonly hear is this, is that God cannot use me. People have said that to us many times. I think many pastors here, God has said to you, God has called you to do something, but many times you just feel that, God, I can't do it. I'm not the one. I'm not the one. Lord, Lord, lead me. I want to follow you, but yet I don't know what to do. And say, I can't be used. But today I want to tell you this. If God can use Moses, God can use you. You know, we often think of Moses as this great man of God. He's this great and well-known leader of the Israelites. But can I tell you something? We only think of him that way because we have the benefit of hindsight. We can see his entire life. But who was Moses right at that moment? Right at that moment when he was at that burning bush, who was he? Do you know he was a murderer? Do you recall that? He was standing in the burning bush as a murderer. He was a murderer. But not just that, you know. There's something very interesting that as I was studying scripture, something interesting I came to learn about. Something we feel that I can't do it because I'm a nobody. Moses is quite a nobody as well, you know. You know how much a nobody Moses was? Moses was such a nobody that when at his birth, what was recorded in scripture? Exodus chapter 2 verse 1. A man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When Moses was born, the names of his parents were not even recorded. That's how insignificant he was. And you know what makes it even more insignificant? If you go and look at the Torah, okay, the Hebrew scripture, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books, you know what? The book of Exodus is called Shemot. You know what that word means in Hebrew? It means name. Exodus in Hebrew or in the Torah is called the book of names. If you go to Exodus chapter 1, verse 1, it starts by listing out these are the names of Israel's sons. So think about it. In a book called the book of names, Moses' lineage and parents are not even listed. That's how much of a nobody he was. Well, let me give you a bit more insight. Technically, his parents were actually named, but later on, not at the start there. His parents were unknown at that point in time. Later on, it was recorded. But you know, sometimes you say, oh, it's not just I'm nobody, but God, I come from such a bad background. I can't be used. Let me tell you, do you know that Moses came from, he was born out of technically a relationship that came from incest. If you don't believe me, right, I'll show you something very interesting when you study scripture. Exodus chapter 6, verse 20 talks about Moses' father, Amram. Amram married his father's sister, I can't pronounce her name, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Aram lived 137 years. Moses' father married his auntie. That was not something acceptable at the point of time. It's not something acceptable in their culture. It was within their family. So you talk about your background, you talk about your history. Moses has the worst track record. Moses has everything coming against him. In the book of names, initially right at the start, his parents are not named. When they're finally named, the only time you read about it is that his father married and had sex with his in-law. With his auntie. That's the only thing you read about it. And you talk about him, his life, he was a murderer. He was on the run at that point of time. And so you look at Moses' life, everything was coming against him. Everything was against him. He had no reason to become royalty. He was born in the spirit of death. He became royalty because God was up to something. And today, church, I want to tell all of you this. You need to come back to the start. I believe that many of people here, you've forgotten that God has a calling for you. God has a destiny for you. Some people here, maybe you don't even feel like saying that anymore because, oh, that's kind of arrogant. I want to tell you this. God has a calling for your life. If God doesn't have a calling for life, that means you're an accident. But God has never said you're an accident. God says that you are wonderfully and fearfully made because He has a plan for you. He didn't create you just to do nothing. He created you with a specific purpose. And today, church, it's time for us to come back to this. Today, I know that many of us here, you have to come back to this place of stepping up to that calling, stepping up to that destiny, stepping up to that mission that God has for you. Others, you need to step out. Step out of that comfort zone. Step out of your fear. Step out of your frustration. Step out of your doubt, and so on and so forth. Today, let's come back to the start. Let's come back to this burning bush. And you know, church, today we need to come and say, Lord, I need a fresh fire in my heart. And the only way you're going to get that fresh fire, you see, we often as Christians, we think that the way to get fresh fire is to just keep looking for fire. We try to go to all kinds of conferences. We try to listen to different speakers. We try to go for different programs, hoping that all those things will do something. But you know what? The fire that's within you can only be rekindled by the presence of God. It can only be rekindled by God. And today you need to ask God, say, God, come into my life.
Press the button.
I've lost that fire. Been leaders in the
make sure the light's on.
Yeah.
You might not even know why you're here at this conference, but today we must start off saying, Lord, I need that fresh fire. You know, I remember when I was growing up in our church and we saw everybody having this great fire. I mean, to those in FCBC, I know there's, I remember growing up and we were always talking so much, full of faith, full of fire, believing that God can transform this land, believing that God can, that we can win the multitudes, believing that every person
ដូច្នេះនឹងធ្វើអ្វីដែលយើងបានជឿហើយយើងនឹងបោះជំហានចេញអំពីលំដាប់នៃសេចក្តីជំនឿរបស់យើងឡើងដូច្នេះយប់នេះគឺជាពេលវេលាដែលយើងត្រូវបោះជំហានចេញហើយជប់បញ្ឈប់នឹងអាភិបអាការខ្មាស់អៀនរបស់យើងដូច្នេះថ្ងៃនេះព្រះអង្គអាចប្រោសប្រាសយើងទាំងអស់គ្នាបាន សូមបងប្អូនគ្រប់គ្នាបានក្រោកឈរឡើងយើងនឹងបញ្ចប់នៅពេលនេះ ថ្ងៃនេះយើងនឹងចាប់ផ្ដើមសន្និបាតរបស់យើងហើយយើងចាប់ផ្ដើមនឹងបោះជំហានថ្មី ថ្ងៃនេះយើងនឹងស្វែងរកភ្លើង ចូលទៅមកកាន់ប្រវត្តិមានរបស់ព្រះ ហើយយើងនឹងទូលប្រាប់ព្រះអង្គ ថាព្រះអង្គអើយ ទូលបង្គំត្រូវការភ្លើងស្រស់ស្រាយជាថ្មីរបស់ព្រះអង្គ បងប្អូនទាំងអស់គ្នាត្រូវការភ្លើង ប៉ុន្តែបងប្អូនខ្លះវិញបានបាត់បង់ភ្លើងភ្លើងបងប្អូនបានស្ទើរនឹងរលត់បាត់ទៅហើយអ្វីដែលកើតឡើងក្នុងជីវិតរបស់យើងប្រហែលជាមកពីការឈឺចាប់ហើយភ្លើងចាប់ដើមរលត់បន្តិចម្ដងបន្តិចម្ដងបន្តិចម្ដងក្នុងជីវិតរបស់យើងយើងដឹងថាយើងកំពុងតែតស៊ូយ៉ាងខ្លាំង បងប្អូនគ្រប់គ្នាអាចធ្លាប់បែរបង្កាត់ភ្លើងដូចជាបងប្អូនហើយពេលដែលភ្លើងនឹងវានឹងឆេះយូរៗទៅវានឹងចាប់ដើមរលត់បន្តិចម្ដងបន្តិចម្ដងហើយបងប្អូនដឹងអំពីរបៀបដែលយើងផ្លុំភ្លើងណាហើយភ្លើងនឹងឆេះឡើងហើយថ្ងៃនេះយប់នេះយើងនឹងស្រែកដល់អំពីព្រះវិញ្ញាណបរិសុទ្ធទ្រង់នឹងយើងមកបញ្ឆេះយើងដោយភ្លើងរបស់ទ្រង់ បើសិនបងប្អូនដឹងថាបើសិនជាបងប្អូនត្រូវការភ្លើងស្រស់ស្រាយជាថ្មីរបស់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់ខ្ញុំចង់លោកអ្នកបងប្អូនបានជួយមកខាងមុខនៅលើវេទិកាខាងមុខវេទិកានេះមិនថាបងប្អូននៅទីកន្លែងណាក៏ដោយសូមមេត្តាបើសិនជាបងប្អូនត្រូវការភ្លើងរបស់ព្រះអង្គសូមមេត្តាចេញមកខាងមុខមិនថាបងប្អូននៅទីណាក៏ដោយមិនថាបងប្អូននៅខាងក្រោយគេក៏ដោយសូមមេត្តាបងប្អូនរកផ្លូវចេញមក ដើម្បីជាការប្រព្រឹត្តចេញមកសកម្មភាពប្រតាព្រះអង្គឲ្យទូបង្គំបានបោះជំហានចេញមកហើយហើយយប់នេះសូមយើងលើកដៃឡើងទាំងអស់គ្នាខ្ញុំដឹងថាប្រវត្តិមានរបស់ព្រះអង្គគង់នៅទីកន្លែងនេះហើយនឹងស្រែកអំពីរឿងទៅកាន់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់របស់យើងទាំងអស់គ្នាយើងនឹងទូសុំឲ្យព្រះអង្គបានចាក់បំពេញភ្លើងរបស់ទ្រង់នៅក្នុងជីវិតរបស់យើងដូច្នេះយើងនឹងស្វែងបង្គំព្រះអង្គដោយបទចម្រៀងនេះជាមួយគ្នាហើយយើងនឹងច្រៀងស្រែកអំពីនីលសុំឲ្យភ្លើងព្រះអង្គបន្ថែមឲ្យបន្ថែមទៀតទូបង្គំចង់បានប្រងថែមទៀតសូមប្រងចាត់ភ្លើងនៅក្នុងព្រលឹងរបស់ទូបង្គំដែលយើងអាចដែលយើងមិនអាចផ្ទុកបានហើយយើងអាចយើងហូរហៀបន្ថែមទៀតប្រងអើយទូបង្គំចង់បានប្រងថែមទៀតទូបង្គំចង់បានប្រងថែមទៀតសម្រាប់បញ្ជូនភ្លើងចុះនៅក្នុងព្រលឹងរបស់ទូបង្គំដែលអ្វីដែលយើងមិនអាចទទួលអស់ឡើយដល់ទៅហូរហៀច្រើនពេកទូបង្គំចង់បានប្រងថែមទៀតប្រមចៅសូមប្រងបញ្ជូនភ្លើងចាប់បំពេញដល់ព្រលឹងរបស់ទូបង្គំទូបង្គំចង់បានប្រងថែមទៀតដែលមិនអាចស្កប់ចិត្តឡើយទូបង្គំចង់បានប្រងថែមទៀតសូមប្រងចាប់បំពេញភ្លើងដល់យើងខ្ញុំដែលយើងត្រូវការបងបន្ថែមទៀតដែលយើងមិនស្កប់ចិត្តចំពោះភ្លើងរបស់ប្រងប៉ុណ្ណេះឡើយសម្រាប់បញ្ជូនភ្លើងមកចូលមកក្នុងជីវិតរបស់ទូបង្គំយើងចង់បានប្រងថែមទៀតប្រងអើយទូបង្គំចង់បានប្រងបន្ថែមទៀតប្រងម្ចាស់អើយសម្រងចាប់បំពេញភ្លើងមកយើងសូមបងចាក់បង្ហូរភ្លើងរបស់ទ្រង់មកក្នុងព្រលឹងរបស់ទូបង្គំដែលទូបង្គំមិនអាចរកកន្លែងណាបានឡើយដោយព្រោះតែភ្លើងប្រងនឹងហូរហៀបន្ថែមច្រើនពេកដល់ទូបង្គំទូបង្គំនៅទទួលបន្ថែមទៀតប្រមចៅអើយយើងនឹងចាប់ផ្ដើមអរិធានទៅកាន់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់ជាមួយគ្នាឥឡូវនេះសូមយើងលើកវិញ្ញាណរបស់យើងទៅកាន់ព្រះអង្គព្រះអង្គម្ចាស់អើយទូបង្គំចង់ឆ្លើយតបទៅកាន់ព្រះអង្គវិញថាទូបង្គំជឿថាព្រះអង្គជាអ្នកដែលត្រាស់ហៅទូបង្គំហើយទូបង្គំនឹងចាប់ផ្ដើមស្រែកអំពាវនាវទៅកាន់ព្រះអង្គសម្រាប់បញ្ឆេះភ្លើងរបស់ទ្រង់នៅក្នុងជីវិតរបស់ទូបង្គំឥឡូវនេះហើយយើងនឹងយើងពិសារដល់ទីបាទនេះគឺជារបៀបដែលគាត់និយាយភាសាដតីបងប្អូនបងប្អូនអាចនិយាយភាសាដតីតាមជាមួយគាត់បានប៉ិតប្រមចាស់ឲ្យបន្ថែមទៀតប្រមចាស់សូមឲ្យភ្លើងត្រង់បានជាងមកប្រងអើយសូមឲ្យភ្លើងត្រង់បានមកឆេះក្នុងចិត្តរបស់ទូបង្គំប្រងអើយសូមឲ្យភ្លើងប្រងបានមកឆេះក្នុងជីវិតរបស់យើងប្រងអើយ សម្រងចាក់បំពេញភ្លើងនៅក្នុងព្រលឹងរបស់ទូបង្គំឲ្យពេញបានហោហៀក្នុងជីវិតទូបង្គំដែលទូបង្គំរកកន្លែងណាដាក់ពុំបានគ្រប់អស់នោះឡើយទូបង្គំចង់បានប្រងបន្ថែមទៀតប្រងម្ចាស់អើយសម្រងចាក់បំពេញភ្លើងមកក្នុងព្រលឹងរបស់ទូបង្គំប៉ាត់មែនប្រមាចាស់ហើយបន្ថែមទៀតប្រងឲ្យបន្ភ្លើងប្រងបន្ថែមទៀតប្រមាចាស់អើយខ្ញុំនឹងនិយាយពាក្យប្រពោជូនលោកអ្នកបងប្អូនទាំងអស់គ្នាឥឡូវនេះនៅក្នុងព្រះនាមព្រះយេស៊ូវព្រះម្ចាស់ហើយយើងសុំភ្លើងរបស់ព្រះអង្គយើងមកសន្ធិដ្ឋលើយើងទាំងអស់គ្នាថ្ងៃនេះគឺជាថ្ងៃដ៏ព្រឹត្តិការណ៍ដ៏អស្ចារ្យបំផុតព្រះម្ចាស់អើយដែលយើងនឹងទទួលយកនៅអវ័យថ្មីដែលជាបទពិសោធន៍ថ្មីជាពេលវេលានេះដែលយើងនឹងទទួលភ្លើងដ៏ស្រស់ស្រាយជាថ្មីរបស់ព្រះម្ចាស់អរព្រះវិញ្ញាណបរិសុទ្ធអើយសូមយើងមកចាប់បំពេញដល់យើងដូចជាយើងមានអារម្មណ៍ឥឡូវនេះយើងអត់មានទេព្រះអង្គអើយតែយើងសូមភ្លើងព្រះបន្ថែមទៀតព្រះអង្គអើយយើងមកចាប់បំពេញនៅខាងក្នុងចិត្តក្នុងជីវិតរបស់យើងព្រះម្ចាស់អើយដែលយើងនឹងក្រោកឈរឡើងដើម្បីនឹងយើងចេញទៅបោះជំហានសម្រាប់ព្រះអង្គដែលយើងនៅខ្លាចជាមនុស្សដែលយើងបោះជំហានចេញទៅគ្រប់ទីកន្លែងដែលយើងទៅដល់ហើយអំពីជោគជតានិងការត្រាស់ហៅរបស់ព្រះអង្គដែលទ្រង់បានត្រាស់ហៅដល់យើងព្រះម្ចាស់អើយអរព្រះម្ចាស់អើយសូមចាប់បំពេញដល់យើងទាំងអស់គ្នានៅទីនេះសូមទ្រង់បានយាងមកឲ្យយើងមានផ្លូវរបស់ទ្រង់មានតែទ្រង់មួយគត់ដែលអាចធ្វើការទាំងអស់នេះបានព្រះម្ចាស់អើយមិនមែនគ្រាន់តែសម្រាប់យប់នេះហើយសម្រាប់សន្និបាតពេលនេះតែប៉ុណ្ណោះទេព្រះម្ចាស់ហើយយើងត្រូវការភ្លើងរបស់ព្រះអង្គរងរៀងរាល់យប់ពួកជំនុំទាំងអស់គ្នាអើយខ្ញុំសូមជូនពរដល់អ្នកទាំងអស់គ្នាដែលយើងនឹងចាប់ផ្ដើមត្រឡប់មកការចាប់ផ្ដើមជាថ្មីខ្ញុំអធិដ្ឋានជូនពរអ្នកទាំងអស់គ្នាដោយភ្លើងស្រស់ថ្មីពីឋានសួគ៌ភ្លើងស្រស់ថ្មីមកពីព្រះជាម្ចាស់ផ្ទាល់ហាឡេលូយ៉ាសូមលោកអ្នកបងប្អូនបែរទៅកាន់មនុស្សចិត្តបងប្អូនហើយនិយាយថាភ្លើងរបស់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់នៅក្នុងអ្នកហាឡេលូយ៉ាសូមបងប្អូនត្រឡប់ទៅអង្គុយកន្លែងបងប្អូនវិញឥឡូវនេះฮาเลลูยาថ្ងៃនេះគឺជាថ្ងៃចាប់ផ្ដើមរបស់យើងហើយយើងជឿថាព្រះនឹងបន្តធ្វើបន្ថែមទៀតនៅប្រហែលថ្ងៃខាងមុខនេះបន្តទៀតฮาเลลูยาបាទខ្ញុំមិនដឹងថានិយាយយ៉ាងម៉េចទេអំពីការដែលរំភើបរីករាយយ៉ាងខ្លាំងបំផុតនៅថ្ងៃនេះហើយមានបងប្អូនជាច្រើនដែលដូចជាពុកខ្ញុំបានណែនាំហើយមានបងប្អូនជាច្រើនខ្លះទៀតមិនទាន់បានជួយមកដល់ទេដូចជាបងប្អូនខ្លះមកពីកម្ពុជាឥឡូវបងប្អូនប្រមាណអ្នកដែលជួយមកពីកម្ពុជាសូមបងប្អូនលើកដៃបាទខ្ញុំឃើញគាត់កំពុងតែដើរមកហើយបាទបាទនេះបងប្អូនកម្ពុជាបងប្អូនសូមកម្ពុជាក្រោកឈរឡើងយើងជួបគាត់នៅព្រលានយន្តហោះឥឡូវតែយើងបានជួបគាត់នៅទីនេះម្ដងទៀតហើយយើងសូមអរគុណព្រះសម្រាប់អ្នកទាំងអស់គ្នាសូមអង្គុយចុះវិញបងប្អូនកម្ពុជាហើយយើងមកពីនេះយើងចង់ថ្វាយប្រាក់ដង្វាយដល់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់ ហើយរាល់ពេលដែលយើងចូលទៅកាន់ប្រវត្តិមានរបស់ព្រះអង្គយើងមកដោយមានចិត្តរំពឹងចិត្តចំពោះព្រះអង្គហើយយើងចង់ថ្វាយដល់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់ហើយព្រះជាម្ចាស់សព្វប្រហតីណាចំពោះចិត្តដែលត្រូវថ្វាយដោយរីករាយដោយអំណរហើយយើងមានចិត្តថ្វាយយើងជឿថាព្រះអង្គទ្រង់នឹងធ្វើការបន្ថែមទៀតប៉ុន្មានថ្ងៃបន្តខាងមុខនេះបន្ថែមទៀតហើយព្រះជាម្ចាស់ជាអ្នកប្រទានពរដល់យើងហើយសូមបងប្អូនចំណាយពេលវេលានេះដើម្បីរៀបចំប្រាក់ដង្វាយថ្វាយដល់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់ហើយយើងថ្វាយនេះមិនមែនថ្វាយដោយការប្រគល់ប្រជែងគ្នានោះទេប៉ុន្តែថ្វាយដោយសេចក្តីជំនឿដោយសេចក្តីអំណរទៅកាន់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់ហើយយើងថ្វាយដោយមានចិត្តជឿថាព្រះម្ចាស់ទូបង្គំជឿថាព្រះអង្គមានជោគជ័យតាសម្រាប់ទូបង្គំព្រះអង្គមានប្រផែនការសម្រាប់ជីវិតទូបង្គំហើយក៏មិនមែនសម្រាប់តែជីវិតទូបង្គំទេគឺសម្រាប់ជីវិតគ្រប់គ្នាដែរហើយមិនថាគ្រប់ទាំងជាតិសាសន៍ទាំងអស់មិនថាជាតិសិង្ហបុរីឬក៏ជាតិសាសន៍ណាក៏ដោយបងប្អូនសូមមេត្តាយើងលើកដៃឡើងសូមតែយើងយកដៃយើងដាក់លើបេះដូងរបស់យើងជាមួយគ្នាហើយយើងអធិដ្ឋាននិយាយថាព្រះអម្ចាស់យើងអរគុណព្រះអង្គដែលព្រះអម្ចាស់ទទួលយកជីវិតរបស់យើងហើយយើងដឹងថាព្រះអង្គអើយអ្វីដែលយើងបានថ្វាយព្រះនៅយប់នេះគឺព្រះអង្គបានថ្វាយអ្វីដ៏ពិសេសបំផុតដល់យើងបំផុតនោះគឺជាបុត្រារបស់ទ្រង់តែមួយបានថ្វាយមកដល់យើងហើយយប់នេះយើងចូលមកកាន់ព្រះអង្គយើងនឹងថ្វាយព្រះកិត្តិនាមដល់ព្រះអង្គយើងថ្វាយព្រះកិត្តិយសដល់ទ្រង់ហើយយើងថ្វាយប្រាក់ដង្វាយនេះដល់ព្រះអង្គដើម្បីសម្រាប់រាជអាណាចក្ររបស់ទ្រង់នៅក្នុងប្រទេសកម្ពុជាសំទោសប្រទេសសិង្ហបុរីហើយនិងសម្រាប់ប្រទេសដទៃទៀតនៅក្នុងសកលលោកទាំងមូលហើយយើងសូមថ្វាយព្រះកិត្តិនាមដល់ពុះបំផុតគឺព្រះម្ចាស់ព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទអាមែនអាមែនហើយបងប្អូនសូមមេត្តាយកដង្វាយបងប្អូនមកថ្វាយហើយបើសិនបងប្អូនចង់ឧបត្ថម្ភប្រាក់ដង្វាយបន្ថែមទៀតបងប្អូនអាចចូលទៅកាន់ website ដូចជាបងប្អូនបានឃើញនៅលើ screen នេះហើយហើយនៅក្នុងអំឡុងពេលនេះដែរយើងចង់ឆ្លៀតឱកាសនេះដើម្បីប្រកាសចែកជូនដល់លោកអ្នកបងប្អូនបានជ្រាបហើយសូមមេត្តាបងប្អូនរសារកាតបងប្អូនដែលពាក់លើខ្លួននេះឲ្យជាប់ជានិច្ចដើម្បីបងប្អូនអាចចេញចូលក្នុងការប្រជុំសន្និបាតរបស់យើងនេះដូច្នេះសូមមេត្តារសារកាតនឹងដើម្បីយើងបានស្គាល់អំពីអត្តសញ្ញាណរបស់លោកអ្នកបងប្អូនហើយខ្ញុំនឹងថាលោកអ្នកបងប្អូនបានញ៉ាំអាហារពេលល្ងាចហើយប៉ុន្តែសូមមេត្តាកុំញ៉ាំនៅក្នុងសាលប្រជុំសន្និបាតហ្នឹងណាបងប្អូនណាសូមមេត្តាកុំញ៉ាំអាហារនៅក្នុងសាលហ្នឹងឡើយបាទខ្ញុំបានឃើញបងប្អូនខ្លះយកមកដែរប៉ុន្តែសូមមេត្តាអធិស្ឋានកុំញ៉ាំនៅក្នុងសាលប្រជុំនេះឲ្យសោះបាទហើយយើងនឹងមានបេកយើងមាននឹងក្រដាស់យើងមានអ្វីសម្រាប់ជូនលោកអ្នកបងប្អូននៅក្លោងទ្វារផ្លូវចូលហើយយើងនឹងមានពី ABC នេះគឺជា7ដុល្លារហើយយើងជាធម្មតាយើងអស់10ដុល្លារប៉ុន្តែថ្ងៃនេះយើងបង់ពិសេសនោះគឺបញ្ចុះតម្លៃសល់តែ7ដុល្លារប៉ុណ្ណោះហើយសូមមេត្តាបងប្អូនរក្សានៅវត្ថុដែលមានតម្លៃរបស់លោកអ្នកបងប្អូនរៀងខ្លួនខ្លួនផងដែរហើយខ្ញុំនឹងដឹងថាអ្នកដែលបន្ទាប់ខ្ញុំទៀតនេះគាត់នឹងជាអ្នកជាដ៏ពិសេសហើយយើងនឹងគាត់នឹងណែនាំយើងអំពីកម្មវិធីសន្និបាតនឹងត្រូវចាប់ផ្ដើមបាទសូមបងប្អូនតេដៃស្វាគមន៍គាត់ទាំងអស់គ្នាបាទសូមសរសើរដល់ការប្រងអរគុណណាបាទតើព្រះជាសាល្អយ៉ាងនេះអីយ៉ាងនេះទេនេះបងប្អូនដឹងទេព្រះអង្គជា